Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Summertime offers a great opportunity to enjoy God's beautiful creation, to recreate, even travel. For many of you, this summer includes a trip to northern Minnesota, whether it be a lake or perhaps to the North Shore. If you're especially adventurous, perhaps you would even wander into the Boundary Waters Wilderness Area. It is called a wilderness area because you do take a risk. You are certainly away from help at any time, but you also are disconnected in a way that provides some enjoyment that is different than any other place you can go in this beautiful state. Well, perhaps you heard of the dramatic rescue in this past week of a group of Girl Scouts who were camping in the Boundary Waters area. Midway into their canoe trip, a terrible storm was rustled up, and they, near their Knife Lake campsite, were experiencing a great weather catastrophe in that there was a lightning strike near to their campsite. The leaders were worried about something called ground current. The girls complained about feeling something shake their tents. They felt something in the ground, and so the leaders felt it was better to be safe than sorry and called for evacuation efforts. For 15 miles, the authorities came to canoe to them. The girls were given 5 minutes to collect their things. They left their tents behind. And then they canoed for 2 hours in the dark of night, finally to reach Ely, Minnesota at 4 a.m. last Saturday morning. Well, thankfully, all of the girls were okay, checked out and receiving medical attention, but likely it is a night that they will never forget. For when you are camping in a tent in the wilderness, you are certainly vulnerable to the elements. Now, I can relate to this on some level. I grew up in a family that would go camping very often in these summer months. I always dreamed of being in a family that had a beautiful RV, maybe even a pop-up trailer. But no, we were tent campers. I remember how we would get to a campsite and it was all hands on deck. We would have to get the tent out of the car, not a nice compact tent, but a big, heavy canvas tent. We would find a nice flat area. We'd have to roll that tent out and make sure we put a tarp underneath just in case there was a rainstorm. There were huge poles we had to put up around the tent, and then everybody had to take a corner and raise each and click it into place. And then we'd have to stake it down again so it was secure in case anything would happen so that the tent didn't fall on us in the night hours. Now, I don't really remember any dramatic stories of camping in tents with my parents. A year ago, you remember my dramatic camping story in a tent with a lion, but I won't tell that one again. But as a kid, I do remember that if the storms did come, especially if there was lightning, immediately, my parents would make us go into the car, and we'd sleep in the car for the night to be safe. I always would ask, why are we doing this? I was fine in the tent. We'll be okay. Well, if lightning strikes, the rubber and the tires will ground us. We'll be okay. That's why that story of the Boundary Waters and the Girl Scouts resonated when I heard it. I understood how, again, we are vulnerable when camping in tents. Well, our reading today from Hebrews spends a lot of time talking about a tent, a holy tent, a tent that the Israelites would take with them in their journey for 40 days in the Promised Land, on their way to the Promised Land. The Israelites would carry this tent with them and set it up in the midst of the wilderness, and it would serve as a place where they knew God was with them, where the promises of God would be real to them, so close that they could actually see it, a place that housed the glory of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us specifics, and actually there have been reconstructions of the particular tent that Hebrews speaks of. It actually is given a special name, the tabernacle. It would be set apart from the rest of the community, also living in tents, traveling in the wilderness. And it would be a place of worship and a place to offer sacrifices. Now, this kind of a reconstruction is possible because of details throughout the biblical text that help us to understand how it was erected into the midst of the people. So here we see how it would look on the outside, but we had specifics about the inside as well, the specifics of how each part was laid out. There was an outer chamber or an outer sanctuary, also called a court. This would be where God's people would bring their sacrifices, their goats, their bulls, their heifers. They would be burnt there and prepared with the help of the priests, who would then take those offerings into the inner sanctuary or the inner court. Here would be a place that only the priests could come and go. But it would be a place where we learn in Hebrews chapter 9 that there would be specific things. There would be a table. There would be the altar of or the bread of presence, and there would be a lampstand. After the priests would take these offerings into this space, once a year, there would be an opportunity for the high priest to take the offerings into the Holy of Holies. Now again, Hebrews chapter 9 actually gives us a glimpse of what the inside of the Holy of Holies may have looked like. Some details as to the Ark of the Covenant and things that surrounded it. And then it stops and says, but there are things of which we cannot discuss in detail at this time. Now last week, you remember, we spent a great deal of time in Hebrews learning about the significance of the high priest, his role among the people, and how now Jesus is that high priest who once and for all, not on the Day of Atonement, so to speak, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer the burnt sacrifices from the people, but once and for all, Jesus himself became that one sacrifice, that one atonement for the sins of the people. This movement of the high priest into the Holy of Holies was significant for us to listen closer to last week as Hebrews helps us to understand this role. Again, in chapter 9, it is repeated as to the importance of this role, so beautifully said. Verse 11, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of creation. He entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So beautifully understanding of how it is this now great high priest has once and for all opened up access for you and for me, for all of God's people, into the richness, the mercy, the gifts of God's grace. There is one more detail lifted up in chapter 9 that is specifically interesting. It deals with the veil or the curtain. In chapter 9, it says there was a second curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, I can relate to this. I mean, if you're traveling in the wilderness and you're setting up a tent and you're trying to make some rooms, of course there'd be a curtain or some cloth hanging to make distinction. I remember when we were tent camping as kids, there came a time when I didn't really want all four of us in the same space, sleeping together at night, all four of us together. So I made my own room in the tent. I hung up some curtains, so to speak. I put a little separation with some beach towels, so I had my own room in the tent, especially so my little brother would not bother me. I understand that would make sense, but you see, eventually the tabernacle becomes the temple built in Jerusalem, a glorious place of brick and mortar, a place of stone, a place that is solid, perhaps one that could never be moved, God's people felt. You would think that there would be then perhaps an ornate opening into the Holy of Holies for the high priest to enter into, but in this same structure is a curtain. There is a veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now remember last week, the gospel that was paired with our reading from Hebrews moved us into the passion narrative. We heard Jesus crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane, longing for God to listen to his cries. Today, we can move into the moment of Jesus' crucifixion. For in Hebrews, being reminded of that veil or that curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, we recall that when Jesus was crucified, the Gospel of Matthew says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. That small detail is significant as we hear this reading today. For in Jesus we have full access. That curtain has been torn apart. We can fully enter into this holy space, and because of Jesus, now in his sacrifice, we have been given that fullness of grace and mercy. Well, it is the Gospel of Matthew that does accompany today's reading from Hebrews, not the one I just mentioned, but one where Jesus is walking with his disciples. It's a snapshot of him in the midst of his daily life with them. They are walking along and apparently hungry, plucking grains and eating them as they go, and the Pharisees catch them in the act. Of course, this is outside of the law when it comes to how you observe the Sabbath. So they are called out as to what they are doing, and Jesus responds. You may say that Jesus' response is very intense. Get what I did there? Intense. And it is. Jesus says to them, I tell you, something greater, someone greater than the temple is here. Jesus incarnate, present with them, now is that tabernacle, now is that holy place, and through him is all access to the grace and goodness of God. You and I are vulnerable people. We are as vulnerable as anyone setting up a tent in the Boundary Waters. We are as vulnerable as people who simply walked into a Walmart the other day. This is a time and a place in life when sometimes we feel like the lightning strikes a little too close to our tents. Sometimes we also experience how it is that death comes to us in unexpected ways, and we wonder when our time will come too. And yet, it is in this good news of Jesus, how it is through his grace that we walk with confidence wherever our journey may take us. We walk knowing that God goes with us in Jesus Christ, and every time we enter into this earthly sanctuary, we are reminded that we are forgiven and loved. We are filled with this gift and have full access to the grace of God. Jesus is here for you this day and forever. Amen.